Mouse made a whining sound and pawed at my leg. I sighed, stuck the hotel information in a pocket, and led the dog back to the apartment. When I opened my door, my nose was assaulted with the scent of fresh pine. Not pine cleaner, mind you, real fresh pine, and nary a needle in sight. The fairies had come and gone, and the books were back on the shelves, the floor scrubbed, curtains repaired, dishes done, you name it. They may have weird bylaws, but fairy house cleaning runs a tight ship. I lit candles with matches from a box I had sitting on my coffee table. As a wizard, I don't get on so well with newfangled things like electricity and computers, so I didn't bother to try to keep electric service up and running in my home. My ice box is a vintage model run on actual ice. There's no water heater, and I do all my cooking on a little wood-burning stove. I fired it up and heated some soup, which was about the only thing left in the house. I sat down to eat it and started going through my mail. The usual. The marketing savants at Best Buy continued in their unabated efforts to sell me the latest laptop, cell phone, or plasma television, despite my repeated verbal and written assurances that I didn't have electricity and that they shouldn't bother. My auto insurance bill had arrived early. Two checks came, the first a token fee from Chicago PD for consulting with Murphy on a smuggling case for an hour the previous month. The second was a much meatier check from a coin collector who had lost a case of cash from dead nations over the side of his yacht in Lake Michigan and resorted to trying out the only wizard in the phone book to locate them. The last envelope was a big yellow manila number, and I felt a nauseating little ripple flutter through my guts the second I saw the handwriting on it. It was written in soulless letters as neat as a kindergarten classroom poster, and as uninflected as an English professor's lecture notes. My name, my address, nothing else. There was no rational reason for it, but that handwriting scared me. I wasn't sure what had triggered my instincts, unless it was the singular lack of anything remarkable or imperfect about it. For a second, I thought I had gotten upset for no reason, that it was a simple printed font, but there was a flourish on the last letter of Dresden that didn't match the other N's. The flourish looked perfect, too, and deliberate. It was there to let me know that this was in human handwriting, not some laser printer from Walmart. I laid the envelope flat on my coffee table and stared at it. It was thin, undeformed by its contents, which meant that it was holding a few sheets of paper at the most. That meant that it wasn't a bomb. Well, more accurately, it wasn't a high-tech bomb, which was a fairly useless weapon to use against a wizard. A low-tech explosive setup could have worked just fine, but they wouldn't be that small. Of course, that left mystical means of attack. I lifted my left hand toward the envelope, reaching out with my wizard senses, but I couldn't get them focused. With a grimace, I peeled the leather driving glove off of my left hand, revealing my scarred and ruined fingers. I'd burned my hand so badly a year before that the doctors I'd seen had mostly recommended amputation. I hadn't let them take my hand, mostly for the same reason I still drove the same junky old VW Beetle, because it was mine, by thunder. But my fingers were pretty horrible to look at, as was the rest of my left hand. I didn't have much movement in them anymore, but I spread them as best I could, and reached out to feel the energies of magic moving around the envelope once more. I might as well have kept the glove on. There was nothing odd about the envelope, no magical booby traps. Right then, no more delays. I picked up the envelope in my weak left hand and tore it open, then upended the contents onto the coffee table.